Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration, and it's Monday morning. No, it's Friday morning, 7:30 in the morning. It's September 8th, 2017. I'm glad to be here. And I had a bit of a break. I took about a week and a half off there. We had a long weekend, and I had some extra days off from work, so I actually kind of took a little, sort of a short little rest, like a little vacation, R&R, and took a couple of shows off. So sorry about that. It was an opportune time to take a break. And so I'm glad to be back, and hopefully you're doing well. I hope everything's all right in your life. And just having coffee, waking up this morning, and haven't been sleeping well. It's really hot up here in Canada right now where I'm at, in the Alberta and the western provinces. Lots of forest fires going. We haven't had any rain. It's just, it's been about 90 degrees Fahrenheit, so about 32, 31 for couple of months now, so it's really difficult to sleep because we don't have air conditioner up here. Most people would have air conditioning, but we only have such a short summer up here normally that they don't normally put them in, so it's difficult. I haven't been sleeping well for a long time, so it was good to take a break. I actually did try to get some rest and just take it easy. So hopefully you're well and everything's all right. This is a morning reflection, really, just for me, and hopefully it's helping other people too, just to keep me on my healing journey so that I'll keep working on things instead of putting it off. Hopefully these are helpful for other people. Like I said, the information is helpful for me on my own journey and healing journey towards wholeness. That's what I'm working on here. And it's so you have to listen at your own discretion, really. If you're a survivor and you're just starting out on your healing journey and you might be triggered by this, you really need to be sure whether or not you're safe enough, so get that information. You can find that at HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, or you can find it at ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a Morris Center program. They have a Survivor to Thriver workbook there, and the first chapter is like 60 pages long. It's devoted to safety first. It's called Safety First. So that's a good workbook that's free. You can grab it right off their website there. And just make sure that you're safe enough to listen, because you don't want to be triggered and then have a miserable day, and you don't want to hurt yourself and hurt somebody else, and it's not good. So you need to be sure you're safe enough before you listen to anything like this, my show or anything like this, because it can trigger. So if you're not sure if you're safe enough, really, because you've never checked into it, get that information first. Just turn this show off. Get that info. Learn how to know whether you're safe enough to be listening, and then that would be good. So be sure and do that. Anybody else, just listen at your own discretion. I'm talking about abuse. Abuse is a very sensitive subject and very sensitive topic, and most people feel very uncomfortable about this stuff. So you have to know ultimately what's good for you to listen to, right? So you make that decision for yourself. And we'll get right into this. We're looking at a section called Anger on the HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, Information for Survivors, Anger. It's anger management. And the last show that I did, we were looking at anger management, and I really didn't quite agree with what they were talking about there. It's not that I didn't agree with it. I didn't think it was appropriate for what abuse survivors go through. This was sort of like normal anger, like if you're on the freeway and somebody cuts you off and maybe a bit of road rage happening. That's that kind of anger. It was very superficial, and so I sort of disagreed with it. That was my last show that I did. This next portion of the article, the anger section that they have, is called the anger question. And so we'll just take a look at that. Then after that, there's another one coming up. It's an anger action plan. to diffuse the anger triggers, keep it in or let it out, sort of thing. So we'll just pick up from where we left off. And the anger question, who's right? They said here, I'm just reading right from their website. And you can get that from HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, Information for Survivors under the Anger tab. I did pop the link in the chat room there. And if you go to their website and go to the Information for Survivors tab under Anger, it'll come up. It's the anger question, who's right? A key question to consider if you really would like to deal with the anger habit is, do you want to be right, or happy, because from your point of view, it is likely that much of your anger is quite justified. If the world ran according to my rules, it would be a much better place. So who can blame me for feeling annoyed with the stupidity or thoughtlessness of others, with their refusal to recognize that my way is the best way? That's your viewpoint. You sincerely believe that your way, your ideas, your values, etc., are the best ones, and most other people feel the same about their views. And we cannot all be right. So I that's kind of interesting because that's true. Nor can we all engage in a daily battle to get the world to come around to our way. If we did, there wouldn't be much time for more pleasant things like having fun or enjoying life. But they're all stupid, inconsiderate, etc. So this is what they're saying. The world does not and will not run by any one person's rules. Mussolini tried it and apparently got the trains in Italy to run on time for a while, but he didn't last long too. He didn't last too long. The world will always be quite chaotic. That's reality. There's no point in getting worked up about it. It is also a reality that the world is peopled by lots of people with, by our standards, rather crazy rules, values, and behaviors. And they will continue to drive their cars differently than us and to have different views about what is or is not respectful behavior, punctuality, tidiness, honesty, etc. Becoming angry is pointless because it changes nothing, nor do we even have the right to change other people. And they said here, the right or happy question. You may feel that you are in the right when you get angry, but the key question is, does it make you happy? Does it contribute towards your happiness and that of the people in your life? Just think of the cost of your ongoing battle with disrespect, lack of consideration, carelessness, clumsiness, and so on. Perhaps like a lot of anger habit people, you've already done this, yet your buttons are still being pressed. You are still being provoked by situations. You still lose your cool and sound off, and you still afterwards feel regret and remorse and self-hatred. So how about deciding that there's no time like now to start the process of freeing yourself from the short fuse habit? It's kind of interesting. I mean, I like what she's saying as far as, we're talking like, everybody really considers and can justify their own beliefs as far as what's appropriate, as far as values and morals and whatnot. But the issue is we all kind of know what's right and what's wrong. Some of this stuff is gray matter, as far as rules and driving their cars differently and stuff like that. This is okay for stuff like, for that sort of thing. Like, when you're talking about very superficial things, like standing in lines at the supermarket and people are just being really slow and, they're just doing it kind of on purpose because they know it's just taking up people's valuable time. This sort of stuff, this is very superficial. This kind of doesn't have much to do with abuse. We're not talking about, abuse, the reason why, a lot of times, why people abuse their children or abuse their partner or whoever they're abusing is because they're angry, and it's to control. Actually, more than likely, it is about control, because abuse is dealing with control. It's a person trying to control the situation at all times, being in control, having the power. It's wrong. It's definitely wrong. So we have to be careful as far as, becoming abusive just because somebody doesn't agree with us or somebody doesn't respect our values or our thought processes. Not everybody's going to agree with everybody. That's very true. But so this is kind of putting a band-aid on what we're looking at as far as abuse. This sort of question would be good for somebody who's not dealing with abuse issues. This is abuse website. It's Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. So the anger stuff is all tied to what normal people deal with in a normal world, which is traffic problems, people cutting people off in traffic, road rage, you know, just being frustrated about people that we're working with, or people, someone in our family driving us a little bit crazy. But it's not necessarily about abuse issues, anger to do with abuse. None of these questions are actually, none of this material in the anger section that I've seen so far is dealing with any of that. This is all sort of what normal people would deal with out in the world normally. So it kind of doesn't touch the abuse issue, really, when you think about it. Anger, you know, misdirected anger really becomes abuse. I mean, I think about the times that my mother abused me just because she was angry. And instead of doing a timeout, like, she didn't do timeouts, you know. There was no timeouts. And I heard about people doing timeouts with their children so that they don't hurt them, you know. Take a cool-off period so that they can calm down, the child can calm down, and then the parent can deal with the child in a healthier way instead of beating the crap out of them and practically killing them. So this is a real problem. Anger, this is not really addressing, as far as I'm concerned, anger for abuse victims, right? And so this information is kind of helpful for people who are just struggling with road rage and stuff like that, or who get angry for, you know, who become angry when they don't really need to get that angry, just because somebody doesn't think the same way we do, or they're doing something that we don't consider to be exactly the right things, you know what I mean? As far as, you know, respectful behavior, punctuality, tidiness, honesty, stuff like that. That's really not, and it has nothing to do with abuse issues. We're talking about abuse here. And this website's geared for abuse survivors, so I think they should have done a little bit more homework. I'm not running them down. I'm just saying this article's really not, it's something that belongs more on the anger resources website for people who really have issues and problems handling their anger. This is not to do with really abuse issues, you know, so that's why I'm sort of disagreed with the one last time as well on the last show, and this one too, because it's not really looking at the issues for how abuse survivors and why someone like myself, who, you know, sitting around at the age of 42 years old wanting to self-injure, I'm 52 now, so this is 10 years ago, right? You know, because I was so angry because of what happened to me as a child and what my parents did to me and what my brother had done to me, the abuse that they inflicted upon me, which actually caused me a lot of damage, not only physically, but emotionally, psychologically. And then me not being able to deal with it my whole life, and then becoming so angry about it that I wanted to self-injure, and I just wanted the pain to be over at the age of 42. I'm 10 years past that now, so I'm 52, turning 52 this year, actually. And do I still get angry about it? It still bothers me. Yeah, it still bothers me. Like I was talking about that on my last show, if you want to go listen to that, if you haven't heard it. But I was kind of just expressing the fact that, yeah, we have a right to be angry. But we shouldn't get so angry that we're going to hurt ourselves or hurt somebody else. We need to get help with that anger. And I think for me, what's helped me out with the anger issue more than anything ever, I think, is allowing myself to feel the feelings and working through it and not stuffing it. Because that was my main problem, is that I was just always stuffing my feelings, stuffing my anger, stuffing my hatred, stuffing the rage, stuffing it all so I could get through the day, so I could go to work, so I could manage my life with the people in it, you know. And stuffing it was not working, because all it was doing was working on sending me over the edge to either self-injure or become suicidal, right? And so this is the problem with stuffing stuff. It doesn't help. It doesn't work. We have to get help. And so I think that's more what they should have concentrated their article on, rather than this silly stuff of, you know, having to do with traffic and other people's ideas and stuff like that. We're talking about complete horrific stuff where, especially if it's a family member, and the family, even if it's not the family member who was the abuser, my case, it was my parents and my brother, and my parents were brought up on child abuse charges. I mean, it was no secret that my parents were abusing their children. And but the issue with my brother, that was a secret between me and my brother and my mom, because my brother was 21 years old, and my mom actually knew that he was raping me because I told her, and she didn't do anything about it. Finally made him leave after a year. Shipped him to Canada after a year. But that was a secret between us, right? Until she died and he died. And then finally, I just recently came forward with that information. But The gynecologist knew about it because they saw the damage. And the issue is this is not, people have to, you know, this is not about traffic issues and being, you know, whether or not somebody agrees with our point of view or not. We're talking about horrific stuff that people go through that abuse survivors then have to sit and try to pick up the pieces. And this is absolutely horrific. Yeah. Because we still have to live our lives, too. Most people, most adult survivors, I don't know, some portion of adult survivors can't work, can't function, have to be in therapy, physical, you know, some sort of centers, you know, for so that they don't hurt themselves. You know, I would say get some help, man. Do not be destroyed by this, you know. For me, I've been able to cope quite well just on my own. I haven't had to go get professional help. But I did have to... Like I said, two ladies actually helped me out there. One of them was my friend from Australia with a program called Your Envisioned Mind, which actually really did help me a lot. But it actually made a huge difference in my healing journey. But the that's the only kind of real therapy that I've ever had except for self-help. So, but I made a promise to myself, you know, that if I can do it and I was getting so down like I was before, that I would go and get help because... None of this should have happened to me. This was not my fault. Obviously, it's not our fault that somebody chose to abuse us. Well, we're left to pick up the pieces and learn how to deal with this stuff and learn how to try to have a decent life, you know? And it's not easy. It's not easy. And the issue is, as far as anger goes, I mean, I think we have every right to be angry about the abuse that we suffered. We just shouldn't be hurting ourselves or hurting somebody else around us because we suffered abuse. That's wrong. That's then becoming an abusive person. So we need to not become an abuser just because we were abused. That's what my mother did. And this is why, I mean, this article kind of points to that a little bit. You know, just by saying, you know, perhaps like a lot of anger habit people, you've already done this, yet your buttons are still being pushed. You're still being provoked by situations. You lose your cool and sound off. You still, and you still afterwards feel regret, remorse, and self-hatred. Now, my mom never felt any regret for abusing me or any of her children, and neither did my dad, and they both made it very clear they didn't feel bad about it at all. And my brother never apologized for what he did. Never, he could never make that right anyway. But the issue is nobody, I mean, I talked about this on my Board in Hell website if anybody wants to go. I did like, I don't know, 30 hours worth of videos there talking about the issues of really getting into the real issues of what this whole mess was about and what my parents did and how horrific it really was. But the situation is for most people who have survived abuse, the anger sits there and just stews and festers and just becomes like almost like a cancer. And I think that, you know, it not only physically affects you, you know, it does physically affect you. This anger, this stuffed kind of rage, anger stuff. But it's emotional trauma, you know, trauma. We're talking, it's not just physically eating away at our bodies, this anger problem and this rage and this hatred and all of this stuff that comes from the leftovers from being abused. It just eats away at your very soul, your very heart, your mind, your spirit, every part of your being. And for me, I really had to get into the whole, instead of just looking at the, okay, I'm going to learn how to cope with this in one way as far as my physical life goes so that I don't hurt myself and hurt somebody else. I had to really get in and do the stuff, the really deep stuff, dealing with the emotion part of this and the psychological part, the spiritual part. And it's taken me 10 years to get where I am today. And I'm in a lot better place than I ever was, let me tell you. I started doing this Blog Talk Show back in 2009. So, it's been quite a long time. November 2009, so... this year will be 8 years of doing Blog Talk Radio. So 8 years of sitting here talking and talking and talking about this stuff. I mean, it's made a big difference. It's really helped me out. Just because it keeps me working on stuff instead of just pushing it under the carpet, shoving it down somewhere, stuffing it over somewhere so that I don't have to deal with it, right? And so, yeah, 10 years, that's a long, long time. So not only did my abusers steal my youth and they stole my childhood, my parents and my brother, my abusers, they stole my childhood and stole my youth and stole my young adult life. And not only did they do that, but then they stole this last 10 years of my life as well. They stole my whole life, actually. Now, that's horrific, but this is what happens. And so this is why I say, I mean, don't, you know, that's why I 10 years ago, you know, 42 years old, sitting around wanting to self-injure, wanting the pain to be over, wanting, I was basically contemplating suicide. And I thought, no, I got to stop this mess because there's no way that I deserve to be treated. I shouldn't be doing this to myself. My abusers already hurt me enough. Like, why am I doing this to myself? And that was my big question, was like, do I deserve this? No, not at all. I never deserved to be abused in the first place. Nobody does, you know? And I started to think very clearly about it, and I thought, wow, this is ridiculous. Not only did my abusers, you know, really basically try to kill me, they've got me trying to kill myself. I mean, how wrong is that? That's horrific. That's why I said, no way, no way. I'm winning this fight. This is my victory. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care if I'm 105 years old by the time I finally, you know, heal. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to give up, because, and I'm not going to give in. And I'm going to get help, and I'm going to try to help as many people as I can on the road to not give up, because we didn't deserve any of that. And it's not our fault that we have to pick up the pieces after being horribly mistreated, horrifically mistreated. No one should ever treat anybody like that. This is absolutely unacceptable. And so that's why I think this article on Havok is a little superficial, looking at basically road rage. It belongs on anger management, if you ask me. Angerresources.com. That's a really good website, actually, just for, you know, people who have trouble dealing with their anger. And but we're talking about child abuse here. This is a whole different ball game. The next section has a little bit more to do with what we deal with as far as being triggered and stuff like that. But this last couple of pieces to this were not very helpful. But we'll pick up the next part of this on Monday. I should be around Monday. So I'm planning on getting back to doing the shows. It's just I took some time off there. So we'll move on to the next portion. Oh, yeah, and I forgot to ask myself, how am I feeling? How am I doing? Basically, I took a break. I didn't do any work. My morning reflection, I mean, what I need to work on. I didn't do any work on anything because I took a break. Really just took a week and a half off. And actually just hung out and took it easy. Didn't do any work on this stuff. Didn't do any work. I had about 4 or 5 days off work where I was able to just relax, take it easy. And actually I'm glad that I did that because I was getting a little bit tired. But I'm glad to be getting back on this. How am I doing? I'm doing pretty good. I've had some flashbacks, some triggering while I was off there, and some nightmares, stuff like that. And so, but I'm definitely not doing too bad, holding in there. And as far as being angry and stuff like that, just even looking at this anger stuff, it's not triggering me to the point where I'm so angry that I can't deal with it. So this is very helpful. And, yeah, so this is what we can do. We can kind of ask ourselves, how are we doing? How are we feeling? Next up is positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk? Looking at positives and progress instead of negative thoughts. This is so important. It's so easy to get down on ourselves. I have a million things I could be really hard on myself about. I think we all do. It's kind of like, well, I didn't get this done, and I didn't get that done. I'm such a loser, and I don't match up with anybody else. I don't fit in. I'm just such a loser. I don't even belong here. You know, this is where I go. She's never even been born. You know, like my parents, my mom, especially my mother. Oh, my God. You know, she was like a demon, really. She was really like a demon to me when I was a child. She was just absolutely horrific. She used to tell me I should have never been born, and I should have been born dead, stillborn with the other two babies that were before me. She always used to throw that in, and she was beating my ass. And, you know, that's just wrong, but this is true. So now, as an adult, I sit around thinking, yeah, God, I never even, look at me, I'm just a loser. You know, my family thinks I'm a loser. Well, who cares what they think? So this is where I go, you know. What am I doing right in my daily walk? Looking at positives and looking at instead of negative thoughts. Well, I don't care what my family thinks about me. That's one positive thing. I really don't care. They were abused too. They've got completely stupid ways of looking at stuff. And they don't respect me as a person. I don't have any respect for them either because they don't respect me. So, you know, it works vice versa. You know, if they had any respect for me, I'd have some respect for them. But since they don't respect me in any way, shape, or form, and they've been incredibly rude to me my whole life, I've cut them off, and I don't have any respect for them whatsoever. And that's okay, because I've got my self-respect, and that's much better than worrying about what they think about me. But so, yeah, I mean, there's some positives in this, right? I don't care so much what other people think. Basically, I kind of care about what I think about myself. I think that's more important. And So, because other people are going to have all kinds of, ideas of whether they what they don't like about you and what they, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. What matters is what you think. So yes, I did deserve to live, and I didn't deserve to die with those two stillborn babies, those poor little babies that died before me. But thank God they didn't have to be. If they would have made it, they would have just been abused, like me and my sister, and my other sister and my four brothers. We were all abused, and there would have been two more, and they would have just been abused too. So there would have been two more lives ruined. So I mean, poor, they didn't make it, but I did deserve to be here. And it's just I was thinking about it yesterday. Actually, it was funny because I was thinking about my name because my mom didn't even name me. She was in a coma when she had me. She was very sick. I think she was trying to abort me, to be honest. And I don't think she was eating properly, and she was fighting with my dad the whole time I was in her womb. And I was sick. I was we both had RH factor, so my blood was poisoning her, and her blood was poisoning me. I think she was trying to kill me anyway. And so when I was born, she was basically in a kind of a coma, and she didn't name me. My nurse named me. So I kind of think about that, and I'm like, she didn't even bother to change my name, and I think that's what made it really easy for her to abuse me, because she didn't name me. It's like when you have something somebody gives you and you don't really want it, and you didn't name it. It's like a dog or a cat. You're just like, oh, whatever. It's not even our cat. It's not even our dog. My mom popped me out. Didn't even know she had me, and then didn't realize I was born for a while. And then I had already been named by a nurse, and they just kept it. They didn't bother to change the name. So it was really easy for my mom to shout my name and beat me up. Just it was just easy for her to do that. I just thought about that. I thought that's just so horrific. It's so yeah. No, I have to care about me. I'm never gonna get that care and that love that I needed, right? So I have to do that for myself. And so yeah, I'm stuck with that name. But you know what? That's okay. That nurse named me, and that's fine. And do I have my own self-respect and self-love going on? Absolutely. Somebody has to do it, so it has to be me. Right? Like, this is absolutely pathetic. What people do to children is absolutely pathetic. And I have the right to say that, right? We all do. It's wrong. Child abuse is wrong. And for people to try to justify it, incredibly wrong. And I know that God's going to have a word with all of those who actually try to justify abuse and say that it's okay. It's actually not okay, not at all. And God's going to have a word. I know this for a fact. But so positive reinforcement, what am I doing right? Well, the fact that I got up this morning and I'm still working on this, doing these shows and starting to and getting back into it and working on my healing journey, that's progress. That's positive. So hopefully we can find something in our day that we can say that's positive. I got up today. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to take care of those around me. I'm going to take care of my cat, my terminal ill husband. Whoever's in your life, that we need to take care of. I'm gonna water those plants. I'm gonna actually have something to eat today, and I'm gonna take care of myself. These are the things that are very important, Avoca has some self-esteem affirmations I want to look at. We only have a couple minutes left here. One is the next one up actually is, I am an extremely well-liked and pleasing person. I'm an extremely well-liked and pleasing person. Now, that's funny. I could go around saying that all day, but that's probably not true. I'm not extremely well liked by anybody, and except for my husband really loves me, which is great, and I think my cat kind of likes me, and I'm a pleasing person. I'm not pleasing at all, actually, but the issue is I'm an honest person, and I believe in honesty, and I believe in being honest with people. I'm not perfect, and not very many people probably like me that much. I do have some really good friends, which is really nice, and I'm very thankful for them. And my husband, he treats me very well. He's lovable. He's very loving to me. We have a great relationship. As far as being a pleasing person, I'm not really out to please, so I don't worry about that. And the issue is I just do my best every day. And I just do my best to do whatever I'm working on to do the best job that I can. I'm not really out to be a people pleaser, right? I'm more in competition with myself than anybody else. So it's kind of like, I try to do the best job that I can just for me so that I could just say, well, I tried, and I think that's good enough. I don't have to be an extremely well-liked and pleasing person to the world. The world probably doesn't really like me that much, but that's fine. Not everybody has to like us. I don't like everybody I see or meet. You know what I mean? Nobody does, right? That's kind of being I don't know, that's being untrue and unhonest with ourselves if we can sit there and say, well, I just want everybody to like me because I like everybody. No, I don't like everybody. I don't like people who abuse people. And I don't like people who hurt animals. And I don't like people that go around causing trouble for people. Troublemakers. I don't like people that hurt people. Hurtful people? No, I don't like those type of people. I don't like passive-aggressive hurtful people who in your face will smile and treat you really well and but don't really have your interests in heart. You know, I don't like people like that who will not take a look at themselves and say, what can I do to be a better person? You know, that's what I'm working on. It's like, what can I do to be a better person? What can I do to be, you know, a better person on the planet? You know, if they're not doing that, I don't have much use for them. So not very many people in my life. If people don't like me, that's fine. That's okay. The issue is I have to be okay with myself. And that's where I want to go with this article, with this piece, with this self-affirmation. So the show is over. We have not even any time left. So I want to tell you, take care of yourselves. Have a good weekend. You know, if you're struggling and you're having a hard time, you reach out and you get some help. I'm serious. You call a crisis line. You call somebody. So many times we don't have anybody to talk to. There's nobody in our lives who cares or even remotely cares about what we're going through. Sometimes we have people in our life that do, but they can't help us because they're way across the country or whatever. The issue is get some help. Call a crisis line. Do not struggle on your own. Do not suffer on your own. Get some help. Join an anonymous group, website group. Like there's plenty of those out there. I have an anonymous support group that I do. For incest survivors, you can contact me if you want more information. You know, get some help, man. Do not struggle on your own. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I hope you take good care of yourself. I'm going to take good care of myself on the weekend. I'm going to be good to myself and people around me. And you do the same. And we'll meet back here on Monday. Bye, everybody.